when we came here, like once we start seeing all this America thing and the opportunities were like amazing, like then we had no, like the sky is the limit, you can say, you know. And then we started thinking in different and bigger like sense that how big we can go. Right. So there is nobody to stop us, you know, so just go big.
Welcome to the Cashflow for Life podcast. We believe there are two types of people in this world. People that have greater cash flow coming in every single month, or people who have cash flow going out. We believe you need to be the type of person that has cash flow coming in, and that is what this podcast is all about. Our mantra is simple. If you take care of real estate for the first 5 years, real estate will take care of you for the rest of your life. If you're looking to achieve financial freedom through real estate investing, you're in the right place. Andrew Holmes, a renowned expert in the field, is your guide on this journey. Andrew is the driving force behind National RE Invest, the largest real estate investors association in the United States. Together, we're here to help you build wealth and create more cash flow in your life. Let's get into the show.
Hey guys, welcome to the podcast. I think we're having a really fun podcast today. And we have two guys here. You're not going to remember their names, but we call them the two bros, right? It's Bharat and Rick. So guys, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us, Andrew. Nice, you know.
Great. So how is it exactly the two Indian guys, right? 25 and 23. You guys are brothers, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So walk me through at the age you're at, right? How do you guys get attracted to real estate? What makes you show up here and why are you guys here?
So what attracted us to real estate was, like, when I was a kid, I was always fascinated with the like buildings and architectures and all the different styles. So I used to build buildings in my house with the like the small blocks.
Like the Legos.
Yeah. From the Legos.
Okay. And then my mom... the bricks, you know, the bricks on the street.
Did you guys ever play Monopoly?
Yeah, I used to play Monopoly a lot.
That's my favorite game, you know.
Okay. Just have everything. So what do you guys do currently? Are you unemployed? You guys just finished college? What do you guys do exactly?
So I am in college too right now. I'm a full-time student at USC studying data science. And then we also run a couple different businesses.
Okay, so what do you guys, what kind of businesses?
So we have jewelry business, grocery business, and now we are getting into Airbnbs.
So hold on, jewelry business, is it like a pawn shop or what is it?
I deal with everything. If you want to sell gold, I'm the guy. You know?
Okay. So we also do like custom stuff. Like we work with like a couple rappers and all.
Okay, so we buy gold and
we buy gold. Yeah,
that kind of stuff. Okay,
but we sell too.
Okay, you guys sell too. Okay, got it. And then you guys have a Quickie Mart also?
We got two Quickie Marts.
Okay, yeah. So for people that may not know the reference, Quickie Mart is basically a store, like a corner store kind of thing,
exactly.
Right? And you actually, I mean, we're not kidding, you guys actually own that.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So you're in college, right? You're going to be a data scientist, right? And then you run the store right now.
I run actually all the businesses. I'm on the management side. Okay. I like to do all the paperwork, talking to officers, you know, everything goes smooth for the front end people who's handling all the business.
Got it. But this is a customer service kind of retail business.
Correct.
Right? So explain to everybody, what are the good things about the retail business? What are the bad things about a retail business?
The worst thing about a retail business is that you have to be present up there. And which is, I don't want to do it anymore. You know, so we transitioned a little bit, but it might take longer, but that's the worst aspect of that business.
So that's the worst. I'm going to add it to that. You're stuck there for your whole life if you don't going to move from there, you know. And the good thing is you're getting the cash flow, you know. So
that's good. At least that's good. Yeah. So the business makes money, but the problem was, because that's what I was trying to get to, was that what is it that attracted you to come to a real estate event, right? You guys showed up at the 3-day and you're like, okay, we're going to do this, right? We're all in.
Yeah.
Because generally when you're 23, when you're 25, you're like, man, I'm making some money. I'm going to go out, buy a nice car. I'm going to, you know, do the usual thing, right? But you guys are driven. Was there some inspiration early on in life? What was it that was a driving force for you guys?
For us, like, we have always seen, like, big celebrities, like, you know, for me, it's like Donald J. Trump, like, who made it to the business, you know. I wanted to be like him, but, like, not, like, what his personal life is like. I don't want to be like that, but as a business-wise.
Basically, the cash flow that it comes in, you know. So, it's more passive cash flow. You don't have to be, like, up there present, like, actually ringing the register, you know, it just comes in every month actually, you know.
Okay, yeah. Got it. So it's all about cash flow.
Cash flow. Right.
Okay, all right, good. So let me ask you this, right? You guys show up at this 3-day, mm-hmm. right? And it's not very long, long ago. What was it, 3 months ago?
Six months ago. Yeah.
Okay, so you guys started this whole journey 6 months ago. And clearly, if we have you here today, is because you've clearly accomplished something, right? So we'll get into that here in a second. But what was your parents' take, right? Whenever they're like, oh, these guys are going to this real estate seminar and then you come to Mastery, right? What was your parents' take on it?
Well, they were skeptical at first. They were like, what's real estate going to do with it? What's the cash flow? 500 a door? How many can you buy, you know? People don't think about the long term thing.
And they don't realize how much scale
you can. How much scale you can,
right? Okay. So at the 3-day, right, we always talk about it's about cash flow. It's about, right, we push cash flow very, very hard, mm-hmm. building a portfolio, stacking a portfolio, right? But did you guys come in with the mindset of doing flips? Was there a different perspective at that time when you guys first kind of got exposed to all of this?
So when we first came to 3-day, our main goal was to like get into long-term cash flow and okay. like, you know,
every month. So you guys were always of that mindset.
Correct, yes. Okay, we will do flips, but like not right now, you know.
Okay, so let me go back a little bit, right? When you started this business, right? Were your parents in the business you run currently? How did you end up starting that business?
So currently, like the business we run, like the jewelry business, that's in our blood. You can say our seven like great-grandfathers or their great-grandfathers were running that business.
Okay.
So that's in our blood. So that was easy to start, you know, for
us. And then did you guys grow up here in U.S.? You guys are obviously from India.
Yeah.
Or did you guys grow up back home?
We moved about like 7 years ago from India, actually.
Oh, you guys moved here from 7 years
ago? Yeah, I was 16 when I got here.
I was 18 when I moved here.
Got it, got it. Okay. So fairly recent.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, recent. Got it. All right. So was there during all of this time, right? Now you come to Mastery, and did you tell your parents that you're going to this 6 or 7 week class, or they thought you guys were drinking some Kool-Aid?
No, we didn't tell our parents that we're going to start in real estate because they said, okay, you know, nothing going to happen because the 500 cash flow doesn't take you to skies, you know.
Right.
So we just started without telling them, and then slowly once we were at like third or fourth property, then we told them that, you know, we are at fourth property and then this will be the cash flow, you know.
Right.
Then they came on board and say, okay, we'll give you, you know, like.
And if you remember one of the classes, the AP classes that we take, we told that you asked what our goal was. So we told you that we wanted to give our dad 10 properties by the end of next year. And then we should be able to hit that goal, but we'll see.
You're working on it.
You're working on it. Yeah.
Okay. So right now, how many properties do you guys have?
We currently have 6 properties right now.
Right now. Okay. So have you done any flips, any wholesales at all or no?
Nothing at all. Just sticking to the rentals, you know.
Sticking to rentals. Yeah. And in rentals, you guys are doing short-term rentals, right?
Rentals.
Or sometimes people would call it generically, like basically Airbnb.
Correct.
Right. What is the reason for doing Airbnbs versus doing long-term rentals?
Well, again, it's the cash flow. Airbnb can bring you like 4 times the cash flow a regular long-term rental would do. So, and which we could pay off the property way faster than, you know, as compared to long-term rental.
So this wasn't available 2-3 years ago, because a lot of times when most people think about an Airbnb, they'll think about an exotic Airbnb, what we call an exotic Airbnb,
correct.
Right? That they'll think about, oh my God, it's got to be in Florida, it's got to be in California, it's got to be Smoky Mountains,
yeah.
Right? By the beach.
Yeah.
But you guys are buying boring Airbnbs.
Yeah. It's in just regular suburbs, you know, like old people around us, nobody to bother, you know, but just the best way to do it, actually.
Like the boring. It's just boring.
Boring properties.
Boring properties.
Got it. Yeah. So basically, we say, well, don't do the exotic Airbnbs, right? Do the boring Airbnbs, because it's like owning a taxi, right?
Correct.
You're not going to buy a Ferrari for a taxi service, correct. Right? You're going to buy basically pretty much
a Toyota Camry.
Yeah, Toyota Camry, and then just work the heck out of it. And this is what you guys are doing.
Definitely.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's kind of talk through one of the properties and the numbers a little bit. That way it kind of gives everybody an idea of what are we looking at, right?
Sure.
So let's look at, say, your property. You guys have a property the other day. I was there,
yeah.
Right? So let's talk about that one. right? That's how many bedrooms is that?
That is 4 bedrooms and 2 baths.
4 bedrooms and 2 baths. And was it always a 4-bedroom, 2-bath, or did you guys make it?
So it was a 3-bed, 1-bath first, but we added a bedroom and a full bathroom upstairs.
Okay. And how did you guys find that property?
That was from a wholesaler in Mastery.
Okay. So you guys found it within Mastery Group, yes, right? A wholesaler. You guys bought the property as a wholesaler. Now, somebody would listening to this would go, man, these guys sound pretty smart, but they're pretty dumb because they bought a wholesale deal. Why would you buy a wholesale deal and let the wholesaler make a bunch of money?
So, like, it's not the whole, like, wholesale has to make a bunch of money. Like, numbers were working for us. And if we tell you the appraised value or how much we got refi for, you'll be shocked. Like,
Hold on, okay. Yeah. So, basically, what you're saying is that you didn't really give a damn as to how much the wholesaler was making.
Correct.
What you're looking at is how much you're going to make in the end.
Correct.
As long as I can make money, I don't care what how much you're making.
Got it. Okay, good. So, what did you guys buy that property for?
That one was bought at 160.
So, 160 is what you bought.
Purchase price.
Okay. And then what was the rehab amount?
Around 40.
Okay. So that's basically you're in that deal somewhere around 200,000 all in, right? So before we kind of get into the appraised value and all that stuff, right? You guys, when you're buying these properties, right? You're buying based on what are the 3 criteria you guys are generally looking for when you do your property analysis?
So when we look at a property, we see like how much work it needs,
right?
What's the back end and how much we can get in cash flow.
Okay. So you're looking at basically cash flow. You're looking at back end, meaning you look at the equity of the property, how much equity you're buying,
exactly,
right? And basically that'll dictate your DCR, right?
Yes.
Which is your debt coverage ratio, right? So you've kind of gotten that through your brain, right?
Yes.
And those are 3 things. So let me ask you this. Somebody says, hey man, you can make $1,000 on this property, but it doesn't have a lot of equity. Would you buy the property?
For us, yes, because eventually the cash flow will pay off or make the equity in that property. So why not, you know?
Okay, so you're okay with it buying a property even though it may not have a lot of equity?
Correct.
Okay, so right now you guys are okay. Okay,
yeah.
Got it. So on this particular property, you bought it for $160,000, $40,000 was the rehab.
Yeah.
Now, was there like a money tree or you guys had that much money saved up? How did you guys fund the deal? Because for anybody listening, they're like, well, man, these guys must be really selling some jewelry, right?
But where did
that money come from?
We're just regular people working a day-to-day job. But for this deal, we got funded from the Mastery, actually.
Okay, so you guys...
Private money lenders, yeah.
Private money lenders.
Correct.
So it was just a private money loan from the group.
From the group,
right?
Yes.
Okay, got it. And on this loan, you're paying 2 points... And every month you're paying
1%,
right? So basically, if you carry the property for, say, 3 or 4 months, you're going to pay 1% a month,
correct.
Right? So there's a cost to that.
There's a cost.
Right? So what was the appraisal after the property, everything said and done?
Appraisal came out over $300,000.
Over $300,000.
Yes, to be
okay.
Exact, $340,000.
Okay, got it. So let me ask you this, right? Were you guys worried when the appraiser goes there, right? Because it's important because for your refinance, because you're going to get a 75% refi on the property,
yeah,
right? So did you guys go there personally at the property, meet the appraiser, give them comps? What was that process like?
So I had a conversation with the appraisal that if they are okay with bringing me all the documents that what work we did into the property and what location or what area we are expecting, you know.
Okay.
He was okay with that.
Okay.
So when I went there, I was all prepared. I talked to him, say hi, hello, how's everything, you know.
So you build a rapport.
Yeah.
Right. And the reason I'm asking question is because I heard that you cried, you tried all kinds of things.
Yeah, why not?
Okay.
It's a bit...
but explain what happened because this is
all right.
Interesting because there's a psychology behind this,
yeah.
Right? So explain that.
So I was there. I was the only one. He was not there at that time. Appraisal came in. He was like, I think 60 or 65 year old. And then he came into the house and asked me, what's your age? I said, I'm 25. He said, good for you. I said, thank you so much, you know. And then we started talking about family and I explained, I have a brother who's with me working. I have my parents and all that, you know. And I said, how much work you put it in this house? I said, right now in my bank, I am negative. So he started laughing, you know. He said, okay, welcome to the real estate business, you know.
So hold on.
Are you enjoying the show thus far? You know what they say, knowledge is not power, but rather it's the application of knowledge that is power. That's why we are excited to announce the new dates for our Build Your Empire 3-day conference and property tour. At this game-changing event, you'll discover how to build lasting wealth with real estate, learn step-by-step methods, avoid common mistakes, and get insights from dozens of real estate and financial experts. If you are listening to the podcast, you know that real estate is a team sport, and we're here to introduce you to the local pros who can help you every step of the way. This event is your opportunity to walk through active real estate deals in Chicago and nearby neighborhoods. And the best part is, you can either attend live or virtually. Go to andrewholmesevents.com and get your early bird tickets now. At the event, you'll see properties being transformed into flips, rentals, or wholesale properties, giving you a rare and valuable learning experience outside the classroom. Meet and learn from successful students who've profited from our mentorship. Hear their stories and struggles, and discover how you can follow in their footsteps, regardless of your background or experience. And so much more. We also have a VIP package that will give you access to our exclusive networking sessions and an opportunity to connect and meet with Andrew himself. Plus, we even give you a hot lunch all of the days you are there. For more information and to secure your spot, visit andrewholmesevents.com. We sell out every time, so don't miss this opportunity to transform your real estate career. We will see you at our next event. And now, back to the show.
So at the end of the day, right, in real estate, you can't lie about stuff, right? But you can certainly embellish, meaning I did a lot of work, yeah. Right? Oh my God, it's unbelievable, right? This is a term, it's unbelievable, right? The amount of work, let them guess, yeah. Right? And you can certainly, you can't lie, right? That would be fraud, but you can certainly embellish. Right. I mean, I always say, you know, I'm 5'7". I mean, barely I could reach 5'5". Right? I mean, it's kind of one of those things that nobody's saying that. But I mean, genuinely, this is about building rapport. Right. I mean, you're telling the guy is a
not that's
older
the truth,
guy,
actually. Right? Like whatever we had, we spent it all on this house and then waited for a good appraisal to come in.
Come back. Right. Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah, because that's where everybody starts. Yeah, yeah. Right. So you obviously built a rapport with him. You gave him the comps.
Correct.
Right. You did all of that, yeah. And you basically he's sympathizing with you.
Yeah.
You're not telling him anything different, right? So you guys got a good appraisal,
yes.
Right? I mean, this was. Did you guys expect a 340 appraisal?
We expected 290.
You guys expected
actually when we started, we bought a property, we were at 265.
Okay.
And then we slowly were adjusting numbers every day before the appraisal came in. And then when appraisal came in, he asked me like, how much would you need? You know, I said, okay, if you can give me 3, it will be amazing. You know, he said, okay, I'm thinking about 290. I said, good, thumbs up.
And then he goes home and sends you an appraisal back for 340.
Yeah.
340. Wow. Okay. But clearly he saw value.
Correct.
Right. Yeah. He clearly saw comps because it depends on which comps you focus on. If these were 6 months ago comps when the interest rate hadn't gone up, right? Maybe at that time it'd be 360.
360,
you know, right? So okay. So 340. Now based on 340, you're gonna refinance the property.
Yes.
Right. So you're basically doing that 257 strategy.
Exactly.
Correct.
Right? 2 years, 5 properties, pay them off and sell it. Right. So but you can accelerate that because of Airbnbs.
Yes.
Right? Okay. So on this property, what do you make a month?
So currently we are making a net on Airbnb is like 2,000.
2,000. Okay. Would that be pretty similar? You guys have another property on the northern part here, like just actually north of where we are, right? 3-4 miles away. So across the board, what would your average be?
Our average currently is about $2,000 from each property.
From each property. Okay. So 2,000. Okay. Got it. So with 6 properties, that puts you at 12,000.
Yes.
Right. I mean, that's pretty good, man.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah.
Right. I mean, that's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Right. Because there's not too many businesses. Where, and now mind you, in all of these properties, are you going to have any cash stuck at the end of the day?
Nothing. $0.
Nothing.
Nothing yet.
Zero.
And you have equity.
Yes.
Right? You have 20, 25, 30% equity in some of these.
Yes.
Right? Okay, got it. And so where do you, like, obviously this all started out as a hope and a prayer, right?
Yes.
When you started, because we all have goals and dreams. But clearly, both of you guys are driven. It's great to see that both of you guys are focused. You guys get along because that's a big thing because one person can be. So it's like, you know, if you have a husband, wife, right? If you have a brother, sister, in your case, you guys are 2 brothers, you're young. Do you feel that kind of helps each other to bounce off ideas, build confidence.
Absolutely. Like sometimes I'm not confident about certain things, but he knows his stuff. So we just come there, you know, and help each other.
So we both have like a different perspective while looking at a property. So like, hey, we could do this with this, but he's like, oh no, we can't. I'm like, okay. So we together make it work, you know, so.
Right. Yeah. Because there's a sense of synergy.
Correct. Yes.
Right. Because I mean, and that's important because a lot of times real estate is a mind game, right? Yeah. You're messing with your own head. So if I was to say, when you guys wake up in the morning, right, you guys don't party,
no,
right?
No, no.
So that's out of the thing. So what is the motivation? Is it, fast cars, women at this age? What is the motivation?
So as soon
or arranged marriage. I mean, I'm not sure.
As we open our eyes, you know, first thing is we do, we say thank you for like, you know, helping us
right.
out and like we are here.
So you're grateful.
We are grateful.
Grateful, yeah.
Okay.
And then
we begin with like meditating for like 15, 20 minutes at least.
You guys actually do this?
We actually do this. Yeah.
Oh, really? Okay.
All our family does it. Like
in the night also,
you know,
before
yeah.
we sleep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, good for you. Good
yeah.
For
you got to thank
okay.
the main
Maybe
guy.
Maybe that's what keeps you grounded.
Yeah.
Probably, yeah.
Okay.
And then we try to go to the gym, you know, and then we plan the whole day that we got this going on. So we have to make sure we go check up on the properties.
But so where's that motivation come from though? Right? Like in terms of, was it somebody in your family that had done really well, which you looked at and went, hey man, this is great.
Yeah.
Was it coming from India to here? And it's like, oh my God, there is amazing possibilities coming to America.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where does that drive come from?
So like when we came here, like once we start seeing all this America thing and the opportunities were like amazing, like then we had no, like the sky is the limit, you can say, you know, and then we started thinking in different and bigger like sense that how big we can go.
Right.
So there is nobody to stop us, you know, so it, just go big.
And you're starting young,
yeah.
Which is a big advantage.
Yeah.
So basically, what does the goal look like, right? Realistically, what is the goal that you want to, so first 6 months, six properties,
yes.
yeah.
right? I mean, you've come literally from zero to a hero. Right.
Literally.
So now what do you think is realistic and how do you think this changing market is affecting you guys? So let's first address what do you think is realistic this year for you guys?
This year we should be able to get to at least 20 properties.
By the end of this year. So and are you guys focusing on pockets where you can do Airbnbs or are you just going after good properties regardless of Airbnbs or long-term?
No, we are going for the locations which are good and have like, we are thinking for the long-term, not for the like next 5 years or 6 years.
Okay. No, but for what I mean is short-term rentals, mid-term rentals, Airbnbs, long-term rentals.
Yeah.
What's your ideal strategy?
When we first look at the properties, we look, do the numbers and everything. We find the pockets as to long-term rentals.
Okay, got it.
But if they allow short-term,
that's
perfect.
Obviously,
yeah.
And
that's
if
perfect.
The numbers
yeah.
work for the long-term, they will definitely work
for
the
short-term.
You know,
right,
so.
Okay. So you're underwriting the property as a
long-term
deal.
Yeah.
It will work.
Yeah.
Right? You'll make $400, no problem. But then as a short-term, you'll make money hand over fist.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, got it. Okay, perfect. So in terms of, so at 20 properties, because I think you can get there. No
yeah.
question about it,
no.
right? So by the year end, maybe all of them are not done and performing yet,
but
you'll
yeah.
be on your way, pretty close to it. So at that point, right now you're at 12,000, right? At the rate at which you're going, if you average this out, it's somewhere between 35 and 40,000.
Correct.
Right? That's net cash flow. That's a lot of money at that age.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's a lot of money. Is there any number you guys are shooting for? Or is it number of properties? What's the goal?
The lowest that's going to keep us going is going to be 100K a month. That's 100K
a month.
Net,
yeah. Okay. Got it.
Okay. Just to, you know, have an easy life.
Right. No. And I mean, it might, for some people that are listening, it's maybe like, oh my God, Andrew, what are these guys talking about? But we're talking about
net cash flow. Correct.
Right? We're not talking about, and that's very doable.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's very doable even with the regular rentals, right? Forget about Airbnbs, right? Airbnbs. It's obviously much easier with the regular rentals. You just have to have
more, correct.
Right?
Yeah.
And when you're buying these properties, the average property, what does that look like? Is it a ranch house? Is it a split level house? Are you guys buying bigger houses? What is the average property that you guys buy?
So average property we are looking at is a ranch house, 4-bed, 2-bath. That's basic. That's all.
Okay. So basically, and you're saying 4-bed because a lot of these will go to Airbnb.
Airbnb
so,
for now, but eventually when we put on a long-term rental, they easily go.
Okay. So basically, if there's a something that's a 3-bedroom, 1-bath, but the location is right, everything is right, you'll buy them.
Oh, yes. Take it, yeah.
Yeah, okay, got it. So as long as the numbers work.
Numbers work, correct.
Okay,
yeah.
Got it. So for somebody that's listening to this, right, because nowadays there's so many young people, right, that listen to these things and they're like, oh my God, man, I'm going to go do multi, right? I'm going to go do flips. I'm going to go do wholesales, right? From your guys' perspective,
yeah,
right, what would you say to them?
For me, flips, wholesales, and all those kind of business is like running on a treadmill, like you always say, you know. We wanted more of a passive life so that we can sit and enjoy, travel around the world with the passive cash flow that we would have.
Right.
But it's okay to do flips
you
and
know,
all.
In India, there's a term, right? The old school term. It's called Seju. Right? I mean, this is a person generally is going to be overweight. And the hardest work in the day is counting cash.
No,
before like you get into multifamilies and all that stuff, make sure you know how to walk before you start running. So
right.
Start with small and you can always make that bigger, you know.
Right. And the goal here is cash flow. Right. It doesn't matter if it comes from smaller properties, if it comes from a little bit bigger properties, doesn't really make a difference.
As long as something cash flows, you're in it.
Anything else that you guys want to share in terms of how are you guys juggling? You're going to school.
Yeah.
Right. Plus you're doing this. Right. Do you manage the other businesses also?
So I go to school 2 days a week,
okay,
in person, and everything else is online.
Okay.
And I manage all the rehabs that are going on and the management aspect of the short-term rentals.
Okay.
And
for me, like I'm more into management or legal stuff, like getting the permits done, talking to contractors, getting the people on board. So like his life goes smooth when he goes to like rehabs and everything, you know. Finding the private money, finding the deals. That
so divide and conquer, basically.
Yeah, correct.
Okay,
yeah.
Got it. So in terms of, so you guys are kind of dividing that part of the responsibility,
mm-hmm, yeah,
right? Anytime you guys had any, like your brothers, any fights, no, dude, we should do this, we should not do this?
Yeah, we have fights, but like, on those things, like in future, what car we should be buying.
Oh, okay.
Not on the real estate
thing. Okay, not on the real estate thing. Okay.
Because he wants luxury. I was like, no, you got to get sports. You know, you got to go fast.
Okay, got it.
No, because I have to trust him when he goes on a rehab and he has to trust me when I'm on the management side. So we don't get into fights on those things.
Okay,
so at least on those things, you guys are on the same page.
Yeah.
Okay, got it. And for you, you're juggling your other business.
Correct.
As well as this stuff.
Yes.
Okay, got it. Anything as we wrap this up, because this has been great, because I think a lot of people will find the inspiration. Now, you mentioned private money.
Yes.
Right? Have you kind of reached out to your parents or have you reached out to any of the, since you guys are Indian, any of the Indian community to try to raise private money? Or are you guys purely getting private money right now from Mastery? And are you guys getting any commercial loans on the front end for the buyers of the property?
So for us, my parents didn't know that we have like 3 properties till like, I think last month. And then all our private money come from Mastery because we don't want to ask our parents and they start asking questions, what's going on, how much is the return and ROIs and everything, you know. We don't want to answer anything to them yet, you know, until we make a good cash flow and then we can present them with a good report.
Right.
And we haven't
asked. No, because your toughest judge are going to be your parents, right? Because they're like, what is wrong with you, right? It's normal, right?
It's normal
they're like,
for
hey,
us, yeah.
This does not work, my friend.
Yeah, exactly. Right? I mean, typical immigrant parents that they're like, hey, we know what the family business is. We know this thing works. Let's just stick to it.
Stick to it, correct.
But, I mean, do they come from that school of thought where it's like, no, you got to work hard, right? You got to work hard 30 or 40 years of your life and save every penny, right?
Correct,
I mean, because that's the typical immigrant mentality.
Yeah, trust
me,
I'm still in school.
Right.
There's a reason.
Okay, got it. Okay. So anything as we wrap up, you guys want to share any last words?
I'm just grateful that we joined this community of real estate and everything we talk here is doable. It's nothing, not a scam or anything. Everything is doable if you work actually like hard for it, you know.
But you have to work. You have to get up in the day, work all your like 10, 12 hours and then, you know, make sure like, if you have to go like smooth in your life to have a cash flow like we do, you know, so you can explore more areas into real estate or you can buy other businesses actually, you know, so.
With the cash flow.
With the cash
flow that you've been getting.
So guys, this has been, it's all about cash flow, right? And a lot of times I genuinely feel this, that, you know, as kids, we have dreams, but no ability to achieve them. Yet as adults, we have the ability, but no more dreams, right? And that's something important to understand, that at some point, right? I don't think anybody goes to school and says, hey man, I'm gonna grow up and buy a Toyota Camry.
Toyota Camry,
right? Nobody. I mean, nobody, right? We all have these crazy ideas, crazy dreams, but yet somewhere life beats us up and we so-called, quote unquote, you know, it's like, hey, be realistic, right?
Correct.
And I mean, if you're gonna shoot, might as well shoot for the stars, because you never know.
I hope you enjoyed the episode today on the Cash Flow for Life podcast. Make sure to hit subscribe on your chosen platform that you are listening to us on. If this episode made you think of someone, go ahead, take a screenshot and share this episode with them, or post it on your social media to share with your friends. Achieving financial freedom is all about creating the necessary cash flow in your life. Our team has designed an entire ecosystem for you to be able to not only become a successful real estate investor, but for you to build higher cash flows month after month. Join our community at www.nationalreinvest.com to see which event is coming up that you can be a part of and how you can be a part of our community. Once again, it's www.nationalreinvest.com. We will see you on the next episode.